NASA admits Orion isn't likely to fly in 2013. Continental loses less money than anyone expected. And the very light jet space gets a little more crowded. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 18th, 2008. NASA admitted this week that its ambitious effort to move up the first flight of the next-generation Orion manned space vehicle from mid-2015 to early 2013 isn't going to happen. The public confirmation came after an agenda prepared for a meeting of program managers in Houston was leaked on a NASA watchdog website. The Associated Press confirmed the news with Doug Cook, NASA's Deputy Associate Administrator for Exploration. But even 2015 may be iffy. According to the 117-page report posted Wednesday on NASAWatch.com, Orion is $80 million over budget due to problems with an attitude control motor under development by Lockheed Martin and Orbital. AP reports that's just one of 24 technical issues currently facing Orion and its Ares 1 launch vehicle, including vibration, heat shield problems, an escape hatch which is hard to open, and even a daily drinking water ration for the astronauts, which is less than medical experts say will be necessary to maintain their health. Cook says the technical challenges will be solved. Space program observers are more concerned about the political battle over funding for NASA. Syracuse University Technology and Public Policy Professor W. Henry Lambright told AP, quote, "We have a government that is dysfunctional. I'm not blaming NASA. I think NASA is a victim of a political situation," unquote. Question, when is reporting a $3 million second quarter loss good news? Answer, when your Continental Airlines and your major competitors are reporting quarterly losses in the billions. Continental made $228 million in profit in the second quarter last year, but yesterday's announcement of a $3 million loss, or about 3 cents per share in this year's second quarter, was still a great relief to shareholders. Reuters reports it also beat the predictions of analysts, who thought the company would lose more like 49 cents a share. Calian Securities analyst Ray Neidel now says, quote, "Big capacity cuts in the second half of the year will hopefully lend some strength to ticket prices, even in a slow economy," unquote. Taking a cue from low-cost competitor Southwest, in recent days, Continental has hedged 63% of its projected fuel needs for the rest of this year and 29% of its expected requirements for the first half of next year. If the pantheon of forthcoming very light jets was already getting blurry in your mind, this isn't going to help any. Former Lance Air chief engineer Carsten Sundin and entrepreneur Michael Lemaire looked at the forthcoming offerings and felt none delivered the combination of performance and features many buyers will want. So they formed Stratus, and they say they'll sell an affordable single-engine jet that can carry four real people and their real luggage 1,500 nautical miles at 400 knots. The composite Stratos 714 is being called a very light personal jet and will have a Fadeck Williams FJ44 3AP turbofan, which will be able to take the plane to 41,000 feet. Sundin, whose title is Chief Technical Officer, says the new plane will target pilots who need performance but don't need more than four seats. He fired a subtle shot across the bow of VLJ manufacturers who can't meet their specified performance if you fill their planes with their specified payloads or fly them at their advertised speeds. Quote, "Our objective is to design and manufacture an aircraft that is affordable to own and operate, is easy to master, and can carry enough fuel and baggage to make the 1,500 nautical mile range at 400 knots the true selling point and not simply two unrelated data points in a brochure," unquote. The company says production is targeted for the first quarter of 2010. Avionics and other details have yet to be announced. Stratos will exhibit during AirVenture in the East Exhibit Hangar E at booth 5020. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued its preliminary report on the mid-air collision of two Bell 407 medevac helicopters, whose pilots apparently didn't see each other as both approached the Flagstaff Medical Center helipad from two different directions on June 29th. The flights were operated by two different companies. There were a total of seven fatalities. Video footage of the collision obtained from a parking lot surveillance camera shows one helicopter approaching from the north, the other coming in from the south. Weather was partly cloudy with light winds. After the collision, both machines fell and burned in a wooded area about a quarter mile from the hospital. A review of communications among the two crews and the hospital revealed the pilots each knew about the other inbound chopper, But when both independently reported estimated arrivals within 3 minutes of each other, the staff at the hospital didn't tell either pilot how close the two ETAs were. You can read the full NTSB report in the text version of the story on our website at aero-news.net. Coming up, thieves steal a trailer load of antique Lockheed wings. FAA whistleblower Mark Lund is honored by his union. And a fatal turboprop crash is witnessed by a sailplane pilot. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 18th, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. We reported yesterday that vandals did immense damage Sunday night to 11 planes parked at New Jersey's Monmouth Executive Airport. Now, an ANN news spy says 2,500 pounds of vintage aircraft parts were stolen last week near Falcon Field in Mesa, Arizona. Robert Kropp is affiliated with the Wingspan Aviation Heritage Foundation, a not-for-profit museum in Mesa. He says thieves got away with a dual-axle low-profile trailer containing 1940s and 50s vintage Lockheed aircraft wings, most notably a complete 36-foot aircraft wing section from a T-33 trainer. Kropp says the aircraft wings were strapped onto an open 28-foot trailer in a storage lot next to the airfield, uncovered and visible from both the ground and the air. Since metal dealers in the area have not reported anyone trying to sell the parts for scrap, Kropp theorizes it's possible the thieves may have just wanted the trailer. Anyone with information about this incident is encouraged to call the Mesa PD. The foundation is offering a $1,000 reward for the safe return of the rare parts. You can find a more detailed description of the parts and police contact info in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Mark Lund, the FAA safety inspector who came forward to report safety issues during the aircraft mechanic strike at Northwest Airlines in 2005, was honored this week by the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners. The union says that after Lund's findings fell on deaf ears at the FAA, and the agency, quote, became more interested with discrediting him as an inspector, unquote, Lund appealed to former Senator Mark Dayton, who helped engage the Inspector General to conduct an independent review of Lund's concerns and of possible mistreatment of him by the FAA. In October 2007, the IG validated Lund's concerns and admonished the FAA for its treatment of him during this time. Union VP and Aviation Safety Inspector Linda Goodrich said, quote, "It is our belief that the actions of trailblazers such as Mark Lund will enable other aviation safety inspectors to come forward without having to face such adversity from the FAA in the future," unquote. A glider pilot preparing for a flight from Oregon's Sun River Airport witnessed a fatal landing accident involving a Cessna 441 Conquest turboprop on Wednesday afternoon. The Bend Bulletin reports the Conquest was inbound from Bakersfield, California, about 10 a.m. Pilot Owen Shirley said the plane, quote, "came down sideways and the landing gear didn't hit flat," unquote. He added the plane porpoised down the runway and the pilot was throttling up to try to go around, quote, "you could tell he was trying to save it," unquote. But the right wing dipped and the plane tumbled off the runway. The aircraft came to rest in its upright position with its empennage separated, then burst into flames. Killed was pilot Douglas John Sherratt, president of ProSoft Technology, a Bakersfield-based communications technology company. Sun River, which is a resort community near Bend, has a single 5,400 by 70-foot asphalt runway oriented 1836. A nearby weather station recorded light winds at the time of the accident from the north at 6 knots. The pilot had filed an IFR flight plan. In the search for evidence of water on Mars, a breakthrough discovery has been made using the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. By comparison, the Phoenix Project is just scratching the surface. With apologies for the obvious pun, scientists now say two studies using images from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter have discovered clay minerals, which could only have been deposited by vast lakes and wetlands, which could have also supported life. One study, published in the July 17th issue of Nature, shows that vast regions of the ancient highlands of Mars, which cover about half the planet, contained clay minerals. They were buried over the eons by volcanic activity, then exposed again in major meteor and asteroid impacts. Another study, published in the June 2nd edition of Nature Geosciences, finds that standing water must have persisted for thousands of years. Bethany Ellman, a member of the Compact Reconnaissance Imaging Spectrometer for Mars team from Brown University, adds, quote, "Clays are wonderful at trapping and preserving organic matter. So if life ever existed in this region, there's a chance of its chemistry being preserved in the delta," unquote. Still ahead, Boeing does well at Farnborough, and Airbus does better. The PR battle for the KCX contract is back on. And airline pilots won't be butting in line at checkpoints anymore. You're listening to AeroNews.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 18th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The salesmanship continues at the Farnborough International Air Show. Yesterday, Boeing formally announced a deal with Air China for 15 777-300ER airliners and 30 737-800 narrowbodies. Kong Dong, the chairman of Air China Limited, explained, quote, "These airplanes are the most fuel-efficient in their classes. The 777-300ER will be the backbone of our long-haul international fleet, and the new 737-800 will support our hub buildup and our company's domestic strategy," unquote. Boeing has also identified the customer for a previously listed 35-plane 737-800 order. It's Malaysia Airlines, which also holds options on another 20 frames. Its order, placed on Tuesday, took Boeing's sales tally for all models of the 737 past the 8,000 mark. Aircraft Capital Group announced it has ordered another 15 737-700s to offer to its leasing customers on top of a 17-plane 737 deal announced in April. ACG also ordered 23 A320 family planes from Airbus. In total, if there was a winner in sales for the annual contest, which rotates between shows at Farnborough and Paris, it looks to be Airbus this year. The European manufacturer will leave England with an estimated 247 orders for airliners worth $40 billion at list prices. That compares to Boeing's 197 aircraft and $23 billion. As Northrop Grumman's public relations campaign for its proposed U.S. Air Force tanker ramps back up, Boeing's side had been comparatively quiet. Well, that ended this week as Boeing reminded the U.S. military that as fuel costs have escalated, so has the difference in operating costs between its proposed tanker and the competition. Boeing pointed out the U.S. Air Force could pay as much as $44 billion more in fuel bills over 40 years to operate a fleet of 179 tankers based on the Airbus A330-200, compared with a similar number of tankers based on the Boeing 767-200ER. That assessment is based on the Conklin and Dedecker Aviation Information Study. It was conducted earlier this year and funded by Boeing, and calculated the Air Force's cost with oil at $130 a barrel, $150 a barrel, and $200 a barrel. Oil prices hit a record high last week above $147, and many analysts expect prices to continue climbing. On February 29th, the Air Force selected Northrop Grumman and Eads to build 179 next-generation tankers based on the A330. The Government Accountability Office of the U.S. Congress found flaws in the selection process after a protest by Boeing, and concluded that differences in fuel costs were overlooked. The Air Force is now preparing a new request for proposal for an expedited competition. About a year ago, Congress passed a bill intended as a tune-up to U.S. anti-terrorism measures. It ordered the Transportation Security Administration to find some way to expedite airport security screening for pilots, instead of simply having them cut in line ahead of passengers. USA Today reports the TSA has begun testing a new system this week, but not everybody's happy about it. Separate checkpoints for pilots are being tested for the next 60 days at Baltimore-Washington International Thurgood Marshall Airport, Pittsburgh International Airport, and South Carolina's Columbia Metropolitan Airport. Pilots arriving at the checkpoints will not be screened for weapons, but will have their photo IDs checked against photos in a database to make sure the IDs aren't being used by anyone but the rightful holders. Airline Pilots Association President John Prater says the new system is a good idea. Quote, "It will definitely be a benefit to passengers not having to see someone cut in line," unquote. The Association of Flight Attendants, though, is protesting, saying safety demands everyone boarding an airplane be checked for weapons. Prater observes that if you're going to allow someone in the cockpit to take control of the plane, why would he need to bring a weapon? And finally, NASA sent around an internal memo recently asking its employees to help with the testing of a key component of the Constellation space program. Managers hoped to keep the memo internal, but someone at NASA decided it was time for a leak. The NASA memo was posted on NASAWatch.com and noted that Orion capsule subcontractor Hamilton Sundstrand has asked Johnson Space Center workers to donate nearly 8 gallons of urine a day, 7 days a week, to test the spacecraft's waste extraction system. John Lewis, who's in charge of life support systems for Orion, says the recruitment has been standard procedure at NASA over the years. Quote, "Urine is a mess because urine is full of solids. You can't make fake urine," unquote. And so, NASA will make the collection effort its number one priority at JSC from this Monday through July 31st. They only want samples less than an hour old, and workers have been cautioned not to overhydrate because that dilutes the samples. The samples will be collected at the Johnson Space Center, but women also will be participating. Apparently, NASA would have preferred to keep the lid on this one. Instead, as happens with launches, pool coverage has been made available by, well, who else? AP. Spokesman Leo Makowski was asked how leaks like this can be stopped. He responded, quote, "Depends." Okay, I made that last part up. That's the latest from Aero News. How's that for a pun count? Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Alan Klatmeyer of Cirrus Design to get his perspective on, well, perspective. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack, or PP for short. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.